Welcome back to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet. Oops, that was a recording from last week. But now we're really welcoming you back to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet. This is your host, Cindy McGurl. Today we are featuring Tony Malaby, and we have him on the phone as well. And I want to thank my partner, the Camden Conference, for helping to bring the show on the air. So, Tony, I have queued up Matik Matik, which is that your newest album from you?
That's one of them, yeah. I released two records in 2014 or 15, I'm not sure. And this is my band Tamarindo with William Parker on bass and Nasheet Waits on drums. And it's a real departure from Adobe. You'll see. It's different. I can't put it into words.
Okay, so let's give a listen here to some new stuff from Tony Malaby.
Thank you.
That was Matik Matik from the 2014 CD Somos Agua. Now, Tony, I'm totally mangling that pronunciation probably.
Somos Agua.
Somos Agua. Thank you. Tony Malaby, William Parker, and Sheet Waits, 2014 Clean Feed release. And so we were just talking a little about your last gig that you did with Paul. It was at the Cornelia Street Cafe. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah, it was a trio gig that Chris Davis organized. And so it was just piano, bass, piano, drums, and saxophone. And Paul was really sick. And the fatigue was, he could barely get down the stairs. And when we started playing, it was like playing with a teenager. Just going for stuff and just really hitting. I had recorded Adobe with him, and I'd started to take a new direction, and I was really experimenting with sound and texture. And after the gig with Chris, he kind of took me aside, and right before he jumped in a cab, he said, you have to continue on this path. You know, this is the direction for you, and it's really important that you continue and follow through in developing that, and I can't tell you how much that meant to me, Sin. And it continues to inspire me and keep me going. It was kind of like a blessing, and something that I always loved about our relationship is I was connected to somebody who had played with Thelonious Monk and Coleman Hawkins. And to get that from Paul, and it was, I think, probably the last time we were on the band. I think that was the last time we were on the bandstand and shared something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was really important.
Yeah, I his words seem like they meant a lot to a lot of people, because he was very genuine he didn't just say anything, and you knew if he said something, he meant it, you know? And it is inspiring. It is, it is to me too. I remember certain things that he said that encouraged me in my own work. And it's really important. I don't know. I think everybody sort of needs that kind of support, you know?
That's, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need somebody to encourage you and sort of help you realize that you are going in the right direction. Yeah.
Just to have that link with somebody who experienced all of that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel really blessed that I got to experience that. And he was such a great storyteller. And I miss him. I miss him dearly, you know.
Yes.
And I can speak on behalf of my ex-wife too, who was very close to Paul too. They had a special relationship.
Yeah.
He really dug Angie. And again, it's because of what you're talking about. Just this type of. He was just so there was no bullshit ever, and Angelica's that way too.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I have queued up No Brainer, which is a tune that she wrote, Angelica Sanchez, from Adobe. I think we'll give that a listen.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
That was No Brainer, Angelica Sanchez tune from the CD we're featuring today, Adobe, and that's Tony Malaby Trio with Drew Gress and Paul Modian. And we still have Tony Malaby on the line. We were just talking, Tony, about upcoming gigs that you have that you could tell people about. And
well, the trio you just heard is playing in Brooklyn on April 23rd, but I can't find where we're playing. I'm horrible this way.
Is it on your website, or I'll put a link to your website.
It will be. It'll be on Facebook as well, and I'll take care of that. But I know that I'm playing at the Greenwich House on April 29th with Tom Rainey and Ben Maunder, and I'm in Colorado Springs. I'm in Denver next Friday the 15th, at a place called Westside Books. And I'll be also doing a workshop that day with Michael Formanak and J.T. Bates, a new trio I've put together. And we're at Denver University at noon for a couple hours. Following day, we're at Colorado Springs. And all of this will be posted on TonyMalaby.net. Those are my April gigs.
Wow, you're busy. I don't know how you guys do the touring thing. It sounds pretty grueling to me. Yeah, that's great. So I have queued up Salsita by Steve Cardenas from the Panoramic CD that you're on. And it's got Larry Grenadier on bass and Kenny Wollison on drums.
Thank you.
And that was Salsita from the album Panoramic, Steve Cardenas' release in 2002 on Fresh Sound Records with Tony Malaby, Steve, Larry Grenadier, and Kenny Wollison. So we were just talking about improvising, and if you want to talk about that a little bit and how your sort of your new direction and approach, Tony?
Sure, but I just found out where we're playing. So Malaby Sanchez Rainey will be playing on April 23rd at the Brooklyn Conservatory.
Okay,
and
great.
I think we go on at 9 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into free improv or you know, creating composition as you perform around the time that I got here in 95. And when I recorded Adobe, we did an improvisation, and I think you're going to play that next.
Yeah.
Paul did not know I could do that. And after we did that, he I remember him coming up and going, "I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you did that." And it really meant a lot to me, because he just saw me as like a jazz saxophonist, a changes kind of guy, bluesy guy. And I had this whole other life going on at the same time, and that I was developing. And he always wanted me to bring that into the electric bebop band. You know, he was always like, "Why don't you play like that with me?" And especially towards the end of Paul's life, he was playing with us at Cornelia Street Cafe. We had a quartet with Ben Maunder, Angelica, and myself, and there was a lot of improv in that, and it was just wonderful to do that with Paul. But he would always say, "Why didn't you play like that in my band? Why didn't you do that when you played with me?" You know, And again, I talked about, you know, how encouraging he was to continue in that direction. So for me, it's most of my bands, I develop them by playing completely improvised sets. And I've done that. I have a band. My next release is going to be on Clean Feet as well. It's my band called Paloma Recio, and it features Maunder and Nasheet Waits and Ivan Opsvik, who also played with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And they recorded a record with Matt Maneri and Jacob Sachs. And I have a record coming out. It'll be out in May with that quartet. And we play a lot of improvised sets. And when we fall into something really interesting, something that we haven't done before, or something that really catches my attention, I kind of catalog that moment really quickly and try, you know, etch it in there, like what is Maunder doing? What am I doing here? What is the bass doing? What is the drum doing? And then I bring that to the drawing board the next day when I'm composing and try to recreate that zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the process that's really worked for me, and I continue to write in that way, and I like the results. It's kind of a self-generating, and it's a way to really create a band sound. So
you're saying that the improvisation comes first, and then the writing happens afterwards?
For me, that's something I'm writing,
yeah.
And then it forces us to, I don't know, it's you start from a fresh point, and the improvisations that come from that are unique, and then that leads me to the drawing board again, or leads me to other interesting types of zones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, we learn to respond to each other in different ways, and in a unique way. And in a real personal way. So It's something I've stuck with, and I mean, you know, I think Paul heard that, and he played our tunes. He played Angelica's tunes and my tunes when we did this thing with Mondra a few times, and he was really encouraging about it.
Yeah, I think too. It seems the improvisation among the group, it just seems so natural. It's not like, it doesn't sound forced, like you're, you know, each waiting to take a turn to sort of do your thing, but it's kind of seamless. You guys must be connected on the music wavelength or something. I'm not a musician, so that's great.
Yeah, and I mean, we all have jazz backgrounds, and we all, just Paul's generation, you know, what happened in the early 60s. That really influenced the type of improv that we're involved in, mm-hmm. and the tone of it and the intelligence of it, you know. I mean, what he did with Paul Valet and Peacock, and I mean, that still is very important.
Yeah. Paul Valet was really important to Paul, playing with him, and it was you know, when he was playing with Bill Evans and sort of felt like that was getting a little stuck and, you know, wanted to play with the innovators more, he went back to New York and played with Paul Blay, and they really, they definitely were thinking the same things. And, I don't think Paul Blay gets enough credit for his innovations, you know. He was a really important pianist.
And I got to experience hanging with him and Paul.
Oh, you did?
Both Paul. And there was a really funny thing, because there was a period when Blay was kind of floating around and checking out what the young guys were doing. He'd come to these clubs where we were improvising. And I remember one time he came up to me and he says, "Yeah, I've heard you play with Paul." And he says, "You know, you guys sound like Charlie Ventura and Gene Krupa when you play together." And I just kind of brushed it off, and I just kind of giggled and laughed. And then the next time he said it to me, he said it again. And we were in Brazil, and we had just played a set, and Paul was backstage hanging. And he says, "You know, you guys really sound like Gene Krupa and Charlie Ventura." And I kind of giggled again. And he says, "No, I'm really serious. That's a compliment. You don't know how to take a compliment. That's a compliment, you know." Wow, this stuff is coming up. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go find something with the two of them to listen to it now. Yeah. Okay. So next up, we have "Gone." It's an improvised tune by Tony Malaby, Drew Gress, and Paul Modian from the Adobe CD.
Thank you.
Okay, we just heard the improvised tune Gone, and from Tony Malaby's Adobe CD. And Tony, I was going to ask you to retell the story about the gorilla that Paul told you.
Sure. Paul found out I was Mexican-American, and he said he had several friends in New York that were Mexican-American that were really close to him, and their names escape me right now, but I think this took place in the 50s. He said he had a friend who worked at Madison Square Garden, and he said to Paul, "You have to come, and I need to show you something." And I don't know if Paul went after a gig or what happened, but he goes, you know, deep into the belly of Madison Square Garden. And I guess the circus is there. And he says they take him to the gorilla cage. And the gorilla is sitting at a table with a napkin wrapped around his neck. And he has a steak dinner, and he eats it with fork and knife. And then he proceeds to smoke a cigar after he has the steak. And Paul would tell this story, and he told it to me a few times, and he would always start giggling as if it just took place like two nights ago or something. And I just love that story. Yeah.
I think that was I think Paul was really looking for work, and I think he did some gigs like at some strip clubs and some different things down there in the 50s. Definitely some different experiences, and he got fired from one gig because they said he wasn't bald and he wasn't fat, so he didn't fit in.
Also, I don't know if people know this, but he played Woodstock. He told me he was helicoptered in to play with Arlo Guthrie.
He toured quite a bit with Arlo Guthrie. He's got some funny stories.
He was doing that at the same time with off. He was off with Charles Lloyd, and then doing that and back and forth.
Yeah. Before he started really playing a lot with Keith Jarrett, and I guess Woodstock was a shock to the musicians. You know, they told them that, you know, there was too much traffic, so they were going to have to bring him in by helicopter. And, you know, they just thought it was some other, you know, another gig. They didn't really realize how huge it was. And Paul said, like, all their mouths just, like, dropped open when they got close in the helicopter and they saw how many people were there. Let's see what we can play next. How about the tune Mia? Do you, from your Adobe CD? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mia, a Tony Malaby composition from Adobe, our featured CD today. And we still have Tony on the line, but we're going to be saying goodbye. So I want to thank you, Tony, for coming on the show. And I hope that if you get up here to Maine, that you'll stop in for a visit, maybe come on the show again or come by the archive. Yeah.
I really appreciate this. It means a lot. Thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, you're welcome. It is great to have your sound on here. It's I think it sounds great. So, okay. So, goodbye, Tony, and have a great day.
Goodbye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Tony. So, I have one more cut here. Nice long improvised tune from Alive in Brooklyn, which is a 2003 Saramar Records release with Tony Malaby, Angelica Sanchez on piano, and Tom Rainey on drums. And this tune is called The Hat.
Thank you. All right.